Joshua chapter 9. What that means is that next week when they play the championship game, it really don't matter to me. I can rejoice whichever one of them win, you know. I'd sort of like to see TCU win it all. That'd be a blessing. But if they don't, I'm not going to lose any sleep and won't cry, you know. All right, you're in Joshua chapter 9, verse 1. The Bible said, and it came to pass when all the kings which were on this side Jordan in the hills and in the valleys and in all the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite, the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wilily and went and made as if they had been ambassadors and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes and clouted upon their feet and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provision was dry and moldy. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country, now therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. We're going to leave off reading there tonight. In our text that we've read, we really find what well might be the saddest event in the life of Joshua. Joshua was a great man of God. He was a great leader for the nation of Israel. Great military general, if he was, but he was human. He was human. Now, a lot of us have that problem. We're human, all right? And that happened to him. Joshua and the whole nation, the leaders, were deceived this day and by the folks from Gibeon, all right? Now, the folks from Gibeon were just a short distance away, all right? They were from a very close distance. But they set out to deceive Joshua and the people of Israel, and they did it. Now, you say, why do we look at it? Well, this episode serves to help us. It's a great example to the deceptiveness of Satan and those that he uses, all right? We need to be aware of it. We can listen, we can ignore it, and we can repeat their mistake over and over. Or we can listen and learn from it, all right? And, man, I hope we'll listen and learn from it. So just a few things about this passage. Number one, I want you to see the deceiver. You say, well, that's easy. It says there in verse 3, the inhabitants of Gibeon, and they were the ones who heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and Ai. And the Bible says there in verse 3, he said, here they are, and they proceeded to come, and they deceived Joshua and the people of God. But I really want to point out to you, they are not the deceiver, okay? They were used by the deceiver. They were used by the deceiver. We never forget the deceiver is old Satan himself, old smutty face himself. He is the one that we deal with. I don't know about you, but I never, to my knowledge, have I ever met anyone who was from Gibeon. Ever. But boy, I've met some that Satan would use to deceive me. I've run across some folks like that, all right? He may use others in his work, but he is the master deceiver. He is an absolute master at it. He was the enemy of God in the Garden of Eden. He proceeded to deceive Eve and Adam both. He was still the enemy of the people of God in the land of Canaan. He's still our enemy today. He's the one we've got to guard against, all right? He's the one we've got to guard against. We got to be sure that we keep that guard up and realize we can be deceived. And oftentimes, you know, we say, well, when are you susceptible to being deceived? Well, when you're really, really low, you can be deceived. But the truth of the matter is right after a big victory, you can be deceived. Right after a big victory. Hey, it was a pretty big victory there in Canaan. They had whipped Jericho, And they had a little setback at AI, but they went back and cleaned that up. They had a victory. And now they're about to face the combined armies of all the ites, okay, that's there in verse 1. And they're coming and massing against them, and they're about to face them. And it's right there at that point that the men of Gibeon show up and proceed to deceive them, all right? You say, well, how does he do it? How did he do it? Well, turn with me. If we'll keep your place here in Joshua, we'll turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, would you? 2 Corinthians chapter 2. There's a verse here that I hope we can say amen to, all right? I hope we can say amen to verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Because 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, we find these words, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. Now, here's the part I want you, hopefully you can say amen to, for we are not ignorant of his devices. For we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, if we can say amen to that, good. We're not ignorant of his devices because he has a lot of devices. And he approaches us. I'm so glad that we don't have to say, well, it's going to be a new attack plan. Nope. In those ball games yesterday, I watched a little bit of them. Not much, but there were several trick plays. Trick plays. They try to run a play they haven't run before and trick somebody. You say, well, that's what I'm looking for from Satan. You really don't need to because we know his devices. And he doesn't run out something new, okay? He runs some things. He has plenty of devices at his disposal to use against us, and he will use those. And you say, well, what's one of them? Well, one of them, he's wily, okay? Look, if you will, at verse 4. They did work wilily, all right? He is a wily rascal, all right? They're sneaky. They're sneaky. We might not use the word wily very much, but Satan is good at it. He's a sneaky little rascal, all right? And the folks that he uses are very sneaky individuals. They set out to fool and deceive you. That is what the men of Gibeon did. They got together and they said, well, if we put our minds together, we can figure out a way to fool these folks. All right, we're going to be deceptive. Very sneaky approach to things. The one thing they did, and the first thing that we immediately see, is they were deceitful in their appearance. Deceitful in their appearance. They made it look like they had traveled a long, long ways. You know how you look after you traveled a long way? You don't look real sharp, okay? Yeah, the clothes are a little bit wrinkled. You don't get out with everything looking just recently pressed. No, you get out of the car and you try to get things right. Women want to go in and touch up their hair and touch up their makeup. Men go and look in the mirror and go, no help for that. And we just go on, all right? And we figure we're all right. But, I mean, hey, we don't look too good after doing it. And these men of Gibeon, they did a good job of it. Boy, they took their worn-out clothes, so it looked like they've traveled so far, they wore out their clothes on the way. Not only clothes, but their shoes, they wore them out, all right? Hey, it went worse. They said they even had bread that you could tell, boy, that bread's come a long way. Man, it's dry. Some of it's moldy. And they've been on the road so long getting here. And, boy, there it was. They made it look like something that it wasn't. They made it look like something that wasn't really the truth. You know, the old devil can do that. He can make things appear outwardly as something that it's not. He can make bad things look good. And cause us to discount the good things because they don't look the way we think they should. That it works two ways, all right? You say, what do you mean? Well, just think with us about this, all right? Remember how the fruit looked in the Garden of Eden? Boy, it looked good. It looked good. He convinced them, boy, it looks good. Make you wise. Try it. And they tried it, all right? He made it really look good, but it brought death. It brought death. On the other hand, think about David. Remember David when Samuel came and he was going to anoint the king, the next king, and he knew, hey, it's coming out of the family of Jesse. Went down there to Jesse's family and he said, bring your sons in. They brought him in. He saw Eliab, the oldest. He said, and old Samuel said, now that guy looks like he'd make king. He looks like kingly material. But God said, nope, not him. And they kept going down the line, every one of them. And oh, I guess they looked worse and worse. I'm not sure what. But everyone, as they went down the line, the Lord said, nope, 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 nope. Finally, they ran out of people. And Samuel looked at Jesse and said, well, is this it? Well, we got one other one. He's out keeping the sheep. Well, get him in here. Well, he didn't look like kingly material. But that was the key. That was the key. You see, the devil can make us think by appearance that, hey, that's not the one. That's not right. On the other hand, he can make what's wrong look real good. Look real good to us. We got to be careful. You said, well, what do we do? Well, take your Bible. Don't lose your place here, but go to John chapter 7, would you? The Gospel of John, John chapter 7. Said, how in the world are we going to do this? Here he is. You say he's deceitful in his appearance, and he is. Satan himself can be disguised as an angel of light. He can disguise those that follow him, disguise themselves, and he's a deceiver when it comes to appearance. That's why John chapter 7 and verse 24 says this, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Righteous judgment. The Lord warns us about the ability of Satan when it comes to deceive us just based on how things look. We live in a day where people are so carried away by the way things look. And we're convinced, well, it's got to be good. It looks good. No, it may be just terrible. It can look good, but it's not necessarily good. I remember many times going to a cafeteria. My dad loved cafeterias because he said, I'm opening the menu. I really don't know what it's going to look like. But he liked going to a cafeteria because he could see it. And he'd say, that's what I want. All right. But I can remember going to a cafeteria and looking at dessert and thinking, boy, I bet that is good. It really looks good. And I'd get it on my plate, and time come to eat it, you know, right before you started the meal. That's, you need to eat dessert first. You never can tell. You could die before the meal's over. So you eat that dessert, and he took, you know, I'd take that fork and cut into it, and it just wasn't as good as I thought it was going to be. Just wasn't, it looked good, just didn't taste that good. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't as good as I thought. Hey, the devil's a master at getting us to judge things by the appearance. You be careful. Hey, one of his deceptive devices is it's the appearance. He's able to do things with that appearance. Another one back there in Joshua is he's a liar. You say, well, that's nothing new. Okay, we know he's a liar. We know he's the father of it, according to John chapter 8 and verse 44. Yet, isn't it amazing how many people he can deceive with lies? Isn't it just amazing how many people he can take and deceive with lies? You consider what we have here in Joshua chapter 9, all right? He lied about where they were from. Joshua asked him, he said, where are y'all from, all right? He came to him and said in verse 8, Joshua said unto him, Who are you, and from which come ye? Now, I want you to know these Gibeonites were master politicians because they didn't answer the question. He said, who are you? They didn't answer that question. He said, well, where are you from? Oh, we're from a far country. Well, what does that answer? What does that answer? That doesn't answer anything. All right? That doesn't tell you the truth of the matter. Hey, sometimes you got to be careful. Sometimes the lie is what people don't say. All right? The lie is what people don't say. You know, you can tell the truth and really curb things if you're selective with the truth that you tell. But these fellows just flat out lied. Gibeon wasn't a far country. Man, 20, 30 miles away, you were in Gibeon. It wasn't a far country. It wasn't far at all. But they lied about where they were from, all right? Hey, they lied about the clothes and the bread. They lied about that. That was all a lie. Every bit of it was. Every bit of it was a lie. You know, here we are. They even said, when we started out, this bread was fresh. Liar. Liar, just a liar, okay? Just, I mean, there they are. You look at them. He said, you know, our clothes were new. The bread was fresh. And look at it now. What was he doing? Well, he was lying. Not only that, you go to verse 9. I want you to see this. And they said unto him from a very far country, thy servants are come because, now notice, because of the name of the Lord thy God. Hey, they lied about love for God. Hey, it wasn't because of the name of the Lord thy God. You said, why did they come? Because they heard. They heard about what Joshua had done and the children of Israel had done at Jericho and Ai. They heard about what they had done even before that. Word had trickled down along the line, and they heard about it. It wasn't nothing to do with God. They were afraid of Joshua. They were afraid of the army of the Israelites. That's what they were afraid of. Had nothing to do with God. But man, you be careful. Everybody that names the name of God doesn't love God. And everybody that names the name of God's not saved. Look out. Look out. You know, boy, people can throw that around. Sometimes I have people on the phone say, man, they're so quick. Have a blessed day. Have a blessed day. And I wonder, yeah, I really wonder if you even know what a blessed day is, all right? I really do wonder. We get things that come out of their mouth, but man, they're not serious. They're lying about it, okay? Hey, they lied about their love for God. They lied about their intentions. They lied about their intentions in verse 8. In verse 8, they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants, liar. Lie. That's not what they came. They didn't come to be servants. All right. They wanted to appear as being friends who could be trusted, so they'd make a league with them. Now, you don't make a league with your servant. All right? That's not what you do. If you have a servant, you don't make a league with them. You don't go into partnership with them. No, that's not what you do. That desire to make that league, that was a lie from the get-go, all right? That was a lie. When they came out and said, hey, we're your servants, their intentions were totally different from that. Just totally different. Why? They were lying. Then I want you to look at verse 11. Verse 11, if you will. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them and send to them, we are your servants, therefore now make you a league with us. There's a little three-letter word in there that's real important. That word, now. Now. Have you ever been to in a high-pressure sales situation? Ever been in one of them deals where it say, now, if you don't do this now, if you don't take advantage of this now, you miss it. I remember sitting in a meeting like that, looking at the guy in the eye and I said, you mean to tell me, if I come back here tomorrow with cash money, you're going to say the deal's off the table? Well, I said, yeah, you're a liar. You're lying. Hey, you be careful, all right? You be careful for that push of urgency. Hey, now make a league with us. Now make a league with us, all right? Do it right now. You be careful when somebody demands an answer without time for you to consider and inspect and investigate. You be careful about that. You be careful about that. Now, I'll be honest, I try to encourage people when I witness to them that now's the accepted time and today's the day of salvation, but I don't tell them, I say, look, if you don't do it now, you missed your chance, that's it. No, I just say you're taking a chance of eternity without God if you do it, but I'm not trying to push them into something because of that sense of urgency, no. Hey, here it is, we give in to pressure to make a decision, and when we do, it often leads to us making the wrong decision. Be careful. Be careful. Old Satan there in the Garden of Eden did not say to Eve, hey, check out that fruit on that tree right there. Looks good, doesn't it? Fruit that'll make you wise. To be desired. Good for food. Now you think about it and we'll come back tomorrow and I'll talk to you. No. Hey, the push was on right there. right there. Car salesman sometimes. You better take advantage of this deal. Better take advantage of this deal. I'll never forget dealing with a car dealer one time. Let me give you this if you ever would like to have something you can use. You know, that simple thing. And I was dealing one, and he wouldn't come to the price that I wanted. And I said, man, you know, I tell you what, that's the best you can do, I understand. And I'll go home and think about it. If I decide to take it, I'll come back tomorrow and I'll let you know. He said, boy, people say that all the time. They come back the next day and it's gone. So I looked at him. I said, well, you know what? I pray about it before I came. And if it's gone, I figure that's not the one for me. Guess what? I got the car at my price. That day. I don't know. That wasn't my intention. I was leaving. I was happy, man. If it's not there, fine. I can live without it. You know? Hey, but you be careful. You be careful when that impression is right now. Well, how many people have gotten in trouble and gotten into sin because the pressure was on, and rather than stopping and rather than saying, nope, I'm going to wait a bit, I'm going to consider, I'm going to look into this, they went into it. They went into it. Boy, be careful. Be careful. Look again with me, if you will, at verse 9. Verse 9, if you would. And they said unto him, from a very far country, thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God. For we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. He said, man, we've heard of that. We've heard of what y'all done. You said, what are you saying here, preacher? This is a real sly appeal to their pride. Real sly appeal to their pride. Hey, we've heard how wonderful it is. Now, wait a minute. Got to remind you, this is the Israelites who just a short time before, they were wanting to cross the land of Edom, and Edom said, you ain't coming across our land. They were not respected at all as a nation, not even to be allowed passage through their land. Even though they said, we'll pay you, they said, nope, you're not coming through it. But now things have changed. Hey, they've just enjoyed two great victories, one at Jericho, one at Ai, and they were reminded of what God had done for them coming out of Egypt and the land there in the wilderness and how he'd led them to victory. And they were probably thinking, well, I understand you've heard of us. So it makes sense you'd want to join up with folks good as we are. Man, great as we are, you'd want to be a part of that, wouldn't you? You say, what are you saying? I'm saying they appeal to their pride, okay? They appeal to that pride. And here's some folks heard of those victories. That kind of thing go to your head in a hurry. In a hurry. Boy, be careful. That's why I say to you, you know, sometimes the devil comes against us once we've just had a great mountaintop victory. Boy, when we're just kind of sitting on top of the world and things are going well, and here comes somebody to flatter you. Comes with that flattery. Now, flattery can motivate you. But being motivated by pride never improves your character. Never. Never let somebody come along, all right? We need to be aware of that device of Satan. We need to be aware of the devices he comes at us with, all right? You say, well, preacher, man, we just, everything's loaded against us, and somewhat it is, so how do we defeat him? I want you to look at verse 14 and 15. Now, when you do, we read this, you're going to go, wait a minute, I thought you said we were defeating him. Well, hang in there, all right? And the men took of their victuals and asked not counsel of the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them. Hey, they made a league with them. They failure came about because they failed to pray about it. Notice, they didn't seek counsel. Ask not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. You want to defeat the devices of the devil? Well, you can never overestimate the importance of seeking godly counsel. You just can't do it, all right? Look, if you will, in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11, look, if you will, in verse 14. Proverbs 11, verse 14, the Bible says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Look in the next chapter, chapter 12. Chapter 12, look at verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Now, if you're not convinced, look in chapter 15, all right? Chapter 15, look, if you will, in verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. One more verse. Look in chapter 20, would you? Chapter 20, verse 18. Chapter 20, verse 18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. Every purpose is established by counsel. Now, do you understand you need to seek counsel? You need to seek counsel. Boy, when the old devil comes against you, when you have we're dealing with something that's a very important decision you have to make, whatever it is, be careful. Be careful. Pray about it. Take some time. Oh, if I miss this deal, it'll not be the end of the world. It'll not be the end of the world. Now, you may second guess it for as long as you live, but you'll never regret taking time to pray. Taking time to pray. And you say, well, what if we miss it and it's a good deal? You figure God's got something better for you, or he's protecting you from something, all right? He's protecting you from something. Now, Joshua was deceived. The princes of the nation of Israel were deceived, but we don't have to be. We don't have to be, all right? We do not have to be. We understand. I said, I hope you can say amen about the wiles of the devil. We're not ignorant of his devices. Many of us said, amen. Okay, if you're not ignorant, then you don't have to be deceived by him. Don't have to be deceived by him. You can defeat the deceiver by prayer. Come against him and pray. Seek counsel. Seek counsel. Come first, ask God. Seek counsel from other people. Satisfy your doubts. And then having an awareness of the deceiver's devices, they can help you avoid being defeated. You don't have to get roped on, okay? You just don't have to do it. It's not a requirement that we have to give in to the lies of the devil. Realize that, all right? Realize that. Hey, don't be deceived by appearances. Don't be deceived by smooth words. Don't be deceived by the appeal to pride. Don't be deceived. You say, well, how am I going to share about the lies? Well, check them out. Check them out. All you have to do, just check it out and see. A lot of times, if you're in a situation, you ask enough questions, the one that's doing the lying will tell you two or three different stories. I've had kids at school tell me four or five versions of what happened. I just keep asking them. You said, well, what happened? I have no idea. Because they can't tell me, all right? But I know one thing, what they're saying is not true. Now, the truth lies in there somewhere, but they're not telling it, all right? Hey, listen, we've got to realize we've got an enemy. He's the devil. And he's going to do everything he can to deceive us, folks. He's going to do everything he can. Look, Joshua was a tremendous man. I would never even want to compare myself with Joshua whatsoever. But I know if he can be deceived, for sure I can be. I can be. That means I better do everything I can to keep that from happening. I better look at his life and say, okay, he was deceived. How did this thing happen? Now, he asked the right questions. Who are you? Where do you come from? But he didn't get the answer. He didn't get the answer. Can I just say this to you? When you ask questions like that and they won't answer the question, the flag ought to go up. Boom. And it ought to go up real quick. That ought to make you think, better not trust this rascal. I love to see politicians keep asking the same question. And the person ring around the rosy about 16 times, you know, and then try to say, I answered that question. No, you didn't. Hey, you know there's something to hide. Old devil's going to try to hide the truth from you. Don't let him do it. He said, preacher, it's the simplest message ever heard in my life. Yes, the simple things we get tripped up on. It's simple things. It's not necessarily the big things. It's so simple things. Here's Joshua and his nation, and here's some fellows come up and tell them a story. And they look the part, but they wouldn't really answer the questions. Joshua should have said, we don't check this out. Said, how long would it have taken? Look at verse 16, Joshua chapter 9. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them that they heard that they were their neighbors and that they dwelled among them. 3 days. 3 days. Well, that's a long time. It's not long as eternity. Not long as eternity. And boy, if you can make a decision that would hurt you and cause you to sin, and you'll have to remember that for eternity, I'm telling you, 3 days is not very long. Check it out. Be careful. When folks come to you telling tales, be sure you check out the story. Be sure. And I give you all kind of applications. Somebody can come tell you something about Brother Marion. He said, what should I do? We'll go and ask him. Well, just go ask him. Just go at, yeah, the best thing, take the one that says it with you. Hey, Fred here says this about you. What's the deal? All right. Now, usually Fred's lying. He won't go. All right, he won't go. But I'm just saying to you, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Satan's going to try. Guarantee you. Satan's going to try to deceive you. In 2023, Satan's going to try to deceive you somewhere, somehow, about something. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. Don't let it happen to you. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, realizing we face a great enemy. Satan, Lord, he's deceptive. He's good at it. He's a master at deception. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to not be ignorant of his devices. Lord, that's one reason we encourage people. We say, read your Bible, read your Bible. Lord, I know that what he's tried with other people, he'll try it with us. And Lord, the same thing he's done with them, he'll do to us. If he lied to them, he'll lie to us. Lord, he'll come at us. Would you help us, Lord? Help us to be prepared for that attack. Help us to be aware of it. And Lord, help us not to give in, but Lord, help us to have the great wisdom to seek counsel, and especially, Lord, to pray, to come to you and seek for help. Lord, help us not to make the mistake Joshua did where he didn't come and seek counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Would you just help